This episode of Profiles in Risk is sponsored by the InsurTech Hartford Symposium 2024. Insurance Nerds has been involved with InsurTech Hartford almost since the beginning, and it has always been a fantastic event. This year, the InsurTech Hartford Symposium is on April 17 and 18th at the Mohegan Sun Casino, an absolutely amazing venue. The symposium is more than a conference, it's an experience. With more than just panels, we also have workshops and roundtables. This year, the keynotes are by C-suite executives from Nationwide and Travelers. There is simply no better place to meet top InsurTech influencers and others making waves in insurance who are getting recognized during the second annual Making Waves Award. This year, I am super excited to be one of the honorees. Come join us for one of the best InsurTech events of the year and use our promo code SAVE250. Nerds to save $250 off of your admission. Learn more at InsurTechHartfordSymposium.com and don't forget to use our promo code SAVE250-NERDS to save $250 off of your admission. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to Profiles in Risk. This is your host, Tony Canyons, and today I have with me Jackson Frejo.
Very close.
Co-founder and CEO at Wondery. Jackson, thank you for joining me today. How's it going?
Going great, Tony. Thanks thanks for having us. Excited to be here.
Awesome. And so for the listeners, Jackson and I met at Amplify Broker Tech Fest in Calgary, where I was there just the media partner and doing magic. This year, I'm actually going to speak at that conference. If you are a broker in Canada or even the U.S., totally worth it. You're Vancouver based, right?
We're based in Vancouver. Yep.
So I am taking a wild guess that we're recording on March 14th. That's not a wild guess. That's today. But I'm taking a wild guess that on March 14th, Vancouver is probably beautiful. Like, it's not super cold anymore this year, at least.
We're just starting to get it. So I think yesterday was 16 degrees. On the weekend, it's supposed to be 20 degrees and sunny. Cherry blossoms are just starting to come out. This is the time of year to be in Vancouver.
And for my uncouth, uneducated, I shouldn't say uneducated, uncouth, uncultured American listeners, you're speaking in Celsius, right?
We are speaking in Celsius, right. Yes.
So 13 to what?
Yeah, that's a good question. So let's say 20 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, 20 is like 60 something.
It's like 68. Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Because every American listener went like 16 degrees. Like, that's freezing.
Yeah. Vancouver is sort of like fake Canada. Like, we don't get the real Canadian weather in the winter. We're the softer side of Canada.
Yes. So for the listeners, if you do want good healthcare and good education. Good skiing. If like myself, you're deadly afraid of the November election, but you don't want Canadian weather, Vancouver's the place to go. You heard it here.
We're accepting converts.
I can't say we're not considering it. All right. So, Jackson, we always give the elevator pitch, and we always give that guest the chance to give the elevator pitch. What is Wondery?
Sure. So Quandary is an automation and intelligence platform for insurance agencies. Basically, what we do is automate manual processes to save time and then provide intelligence from this data to allow agencies to make better decisions and drive revenue. So an example of that, one of the processes that we automate is the renewal review process. So when a renewal policy downloads into a broker's management system, we have a robot that will go into the system, look at that renewal, the last terms renewal, look at any endorsements midterm, extract all the data out of those renewal documents, extract other data from the management system, rating information, underwriting information, location data, et cetera, and then provide a summary back to the agent, showing them, you know, a summary of the renewal, upsell opportunities, cross-sell opportunities, missing discounts, risks of churn, gaps in coverage, things like that. So they can spend their time actually acting on that data and making better decisions, not spending all of their time doing the manual processing and collecting all of that data. So we automate, you know, multiple different use cases, but that's an example of one of the ones where we tackle.
Yeah, I'm muted. I was muted, wasn't I? Okay. So, happens.
Thought that was maybe my headphones there for a second.
Happens all the time, especially after this first piece, because that's where it gets into go right. Yeah. Anyway, note for future 20 to edit this. We'll see if he remembers. Okay. So, automation and intelligence platform for insurance agents and brokers, right?
Yeah. Correct.
It's looking to drive revenue. One of the big things that it does, automate the renewal review process. That's a big deal for brokers, right? So from my perspective as a former underwriter, renewals were easy. As a small commercial underwriter, it was super simple. It was, have they had any losses? If they haven't, renew. Have they had some losses? Okay, have they been decent? Maybe we need to take off credit. Renew. In middle market, it was more like, are the losses which all accounts have in line to what we expected, and what is the competitive situation around the account this year? What is the broker saying we need to do to keep it, if we want to keep it, right? As a broker, it's a much more complicated situation, right? Do I want to shop it? Do I not? Is the client happy with where it's at? Is the, you know, like if something broken and so. I've never been a broker, much less in Canada. What kind of results are the clients seeing from this part of the platform? What are they telling you about it? What are they reporting?
Yeah, happy to add. And I think, you know, you're talking about the renewal process. Like what it also is time consuming and the volume that you need to deal with, right? It's not just that one of these is coming across your desk, but you're dealing with dozens, if not, you know, 30, 40, 50 of these on a daily basis that need to get handled. So basically what our technology does, it goes in, summarizes all that data, gives that back to the agency and the brokerage. And the renewal process within Canada and the US looks very similar. There are some small differences, but generally it's ran the same way. They're getting a few main benefits. First order benefit, saving, right? It takes on average, you know, 15 minutes or so to review last year's policy to this year's policy, make sure that all of those minimum standards are hit, making sure that everything's there. To do that analysis takes about 15 minutes per policy. So if you have a book of 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 policies, whatever that might be, that is a massive amount of time that your team is spending reviewing those policies. If you're doing it on them. So if they're doing it on all of them, they save a lot of time. If they're not doing it on all of them, well, that's a different story. Then they're not necessarily saving all of that time on it, but they're saving time. But they have the reassurance now that every single policy is being reviewed, that there's less E&O risk in that book because the minimum standards are being flagged and that's adhered to. And they can target the clients of theirs where they're potentially at risk of churn, or where there's opportunities to upsell and cross-sell, so they can target that. So really, our customers are seeing like very large quantities of time savings, like to the order of, you know, in some cases, like 10 full-time employees being repurposed to other processes within the agency, and the ability to be really targeted on their renewals and increasing their retention rate as a result.
Right. So really, ultimately, it's a automation platform specifically for brokers.
Correct. Yeah, it's an automation platform for brokers and agents. So the way that we do it is basically we build sort of pre-trained automations. So these are pre-trained robots that log into a broker management system with a username and password, similar to how a person would. They click, they type, they navigate the screen that way. They'll log into the system, and we have sort of multiple pre-trained use cases. So these bots have been deployed and trained across dozens of other brokerages. And for a broker or an agent to come in and use this, they just need to input their own configuration, you know, how they want their renewal process to run, what coverage they want to be flagged, what their premium limits they want adjusted, those types of things. And you can have it deployed in, you know, 30 to 60 days.
30 to 60 minutes.
Days.
Oh,
30 to
okay,
60
okay,
minutes.
Okay.
30 to 60
30 to
minutes
60,
would be,
okay.
would be pretty cool. 30 to 60 days.
30 to 60 days is good for our industry.
Yeah, 30 to 60 minutes. Okay. That's next.
Okay, so awesome. Do you want to put a date on that?
Yeah, in the future, we'll say.
Okay, perfect. That's a fantastic date. All right. You said some interesting thing. One that really caught my attention is that you refer to them as robots that type their username and password, type into the agency management system. So what I heard, and I'm a non-technical guy, but what I heard is, hey, we don't necessarily need API access into a system that might charge you for API access. We can do it anyway, right?
Yeah, so
is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So and even if the API is there, there's only so much that you can do through an API or an SDK.
Okay.
Into some of these systems, right? Like they only provide you with so much access. And while, you know, a lot of people are sitting and sort of waiting around for the silver bullet of the API to come in and solve all of our problems, what we've done is build agents. So we built agents that log in with username and password. They interact with the system just like you or I would. They read the screen, they click, they type, they navigate the user interface, they read documents. We use a combination of different technologies to be able to automate these complex processes, but it means that you can automate whatever process you want as long as you can do it through the user interface. You're not reliant on an API or an SDK to do so.
Right. All right. And so it looks like right now you've got three of those. So there's Renewal Reviewer, which you've pretty much mentioned. And then there's eDoc Executive and Download Director. What are eDoc Executive and Download Director?
Yeah, so the eDoc Executive, that helps agencies and brokerages automate all of their document management. So all of the documents that are coming into the system, it will ingest those documents, it'll figure out what they are, name them appropriately based on custom set naming conventions, put them in the right folder, put them in the right subfolder, route them to the right person in the organization. So it takes all that manual processing away from the document management side of things. And then the Download Director, that helps automate, aptly named, the download process. So the EDI process, all of the suspense items that come out of the EDI process. So when you run that download process from either IBINs or CISIO, depending on whether you're in the US or Canada, that data is downloading into your management system, and a component of that data isn't going to get routed to the right place, whether because, you know, a change in policy number, change in address, change in account name, somebody gets married, like there's a lot of different reasons, but it won't go to the right place. So somebody needs to manually sort through all of that data to figure out, you know, where does this policy go, where does this document go, et cetera. So that's what one of our robots will do, kind of takes all that incoming data, figures out where it goes, matches it to the correct location, that a person doesn't need to do that process every day.
All right. Looking at the website, the three people workers have little tags, color tags, Epic, SIG, and Power Broker. So Epic, I know Epic. Epic by Applied. So SIG and Power Broker, are those two AMSs, or excuse me, in Canada, you guys call them BMSs. Are those two BMSs that are common in Canada?
Yeah, those are two BMSs in Canada. Yeah, so Epic, we work on Epic, which is cross-border, Canada and U.S., and then AMS and, or sorry, SIG and Power Broker are both specific to Canada.
Okay, got it. Okay, what other digital workers are coming down the pipe that you can already talk about? And whenever I'm asking about future features, I always like to give you an idea. This episode will probably go live mid-April, so that you know that if something's coming out in March or beginning of April, you can definitely talk about it or whatever.
Yeah, so we've got a couple. There's a couple I can't share, but there's some stuff I can, and I think the stuff I can't share can sort of allude to like where we're really going a lot deeper right now is around the renewal process. While we're taking we're kind of biting like a we're biting a chunk out of it, but there's still a lot more work around the renewal process that happens than what our bots can currently do. And really where we see brokers struggling, especially right now in a hard market, is on the renewal process. That's a lot of the time what gets dropped when they're really busy. So really enabling that and allowing them to turn the renewal process into a revenue generation process. So we're really kind of going deeper and deeper into the renewal process. We'll have some exciting stuff coming there. Jameson, my co-founder, my brother, and he runs product at Quandary. He would not be happy if I shared more details about it. So I'll hold on to that for now. But then some of the exciting stuff that we are currently kind of in the process of releasing is what we're calling our control room. So typically, and you know, some of your listeners might be familiar with RPA or robotic process automation, sort of what people typically think of with sort of agents that do this type of work. Typically, those are like robots that are running kind of in the background somewhere. You can't really interact with them. You can't control them. You don't have any interaction with those tools. Because we're only focused on insurance brokerages and agencies and focused on like a limited number of use cases, we can really focus on those and sort of do those really, really well. So what we've built, we're calling it our control room, and it really allows agencies and brokerage to have full control over those robots. So they can configure those robots directly through a web application. They can change those robots over time. They can stop them. They can start them. They can move them into production and demo environments. They can spin up multiple versions of robots to run different robots in different segments of their book. It really allows them to segment the technology across the book of business and have a lot more control over how they're actually using it. And that's something that it obviously makes onboarding a lot easier and faster, but once they actually have the technology running, allows them to extract a lot more value out of the technology because they're able to do exactly what they want with it. And that's something that we've started releasing that our existing customer base has been really, really excited about.
All right, that's some exciting stuff. Fantastic. What is the pricing like?
So it depends on the size of agency or brokerage. So basically, we price based on policy count. So it's not a pure, like, we don't charge this amount per policy process, but we sort of have buckets of pricing. So, you know, 0 to 5,000 policies pays a certain price. 5,000 to 10,000 policies pays a certain price. So, you know, a robot can cost anywhere from, you know, $500 a month on the low end to, you know, up to like 10 grand a month on the, or sometimes even, you know, even about like $25,000 a month on the really high end. So depending on policy count, it swings significantly. Those are for like very, very large agencies that pay those prices.
Okay. Okay, and it does look, just based on the logos on your website, it looks like you guys are fairly well deployed, some pretty well known names there, so that's fantastic. For the listeners, if this is something interesting, go check out the website Quandary. That's Quandry.io, and go to the case studies. Those look, I haven't read them, but those look like what's going to really give you an idea on whether this is the right thing you're looking for or the right thing you didn't know you needed.
Yeah, we've been lucky to work with some really, really great partners in the space, who run really great businesses and who really evaluate the decision they're not just when they make the decision, but also afterwards. So they have a lot of the numbers, and those case studies are great examples of some of the benefits that some of our customers have been able to see.
What is the? I'm always curious on the origin story. How did you realize that this was a need, and decided that, you know what, I'm gonna be the one that jumped in to fix this?
Yeah. So did not grow up expecting to be building automation technology for the insurance industry. I mentioned my brother previously. Jameson and I started the company together, and him and I were always really interested in entrepreneurship, sort of, but arrived at it in different ways and didn't really realize that the other was also interested in it at the same time. So when we were in high school, like we both loved to read, and a lot of books that we read were like biographies of, you know, famous entrepreneurs who'd been able to build amazing things, and those always really, really inspired us. And I think what it came down to was like entrepreneurship is a way to have a permissionless way to have an impact early on in your career, right? You don't need to get promoted to a certain job. You don't need to put in the time to do it. It's based on like the merit of the product you build and the company you build and the team you build. So I think it both really appealed to us because we were able to like lean in and put everything you want into it, and you can sort of accrue the benefits as a result of it. So it was a way you can kind of, you're relying on yourself is really what it comes down to, and the team around you. So really interested us to kind of pursue that path. I ended up going to business school and then started working for a startup right after school. And Jameson went to engineering school, was doing a software degree, and sort of towards the end of his software degree, and kind of I was coming to an end of my time at that startup, and we were bouncing around these different ideas to potentially go in and start a business together. And at that time, I was running operations in that startup, and I had built an automation program in that company. A lot of people on my team were doing sort of high volume repetitive work into a software application that we couldn't read or write what we wanted through the API. So I built some robots and some automation to solve that problem, and saw how valuable it was in that business, and looked around and didn't see anybody doing that for SMBs. There were obviously really large automation providers like UiPath and Automation Anywhere or something like that, but nobody serving SMBs or mid-market. Really where we saw a gap was like robots that actually solved the problem, like not just giving people a capability where they then needed to build all the stuff themselves, but giving them the actual end result of a robot solving a problem that was easy to deploy and fast to realize value. So James and I decided to start Quandary. I left my job. He was in school and he did a co-op in school to really get it going. And we originally started Quandary as sort of robots as a service, but across a number of different industries. We knew that we wanted to sort of find one and go really deep on a single industry, but didn't really know where that would be at first. So worked across a number of different industries and worked with our first couple of insurance brokerages about 2.5, 3 years ago. And after we worked with our first couple of insurance brokerages, we just realized fairly quickly how big of a problem this was in the insurance space. It was sort of a hair on fire problem for brokerages. There was sort of more manual processing work coming. Nobody was really doing a whole lot about it, and they didn't really see it out of it. And there was sort of these systemic problems that were creating these conditions. So after doing a little bit more research and kind of getting pulled more in that direction from our existing customers, we decided to kind of make the pivot, focus entirely on the insurance space, and specifically on the distribution channel on brokerages and agencies. Made that switch about 2.5 years ago, and that's now all we've been doing the last 2.5 years is building a platform to deploy robots so that brokers and agents don't need to spend so much time processing manual work and spend more time talking to clients and doing the work that's really important to them.
Love it. One thing that's not clear from your LinkedIn, what's your what's your undergrad computer science? Because you programmed the robot at your first, so you were a computer science major first, and then the MBA.
So I didn't have a computer science background. I did a finance degree. I always liked math, and I knew I wanted to go into business, so I did finance. Jameson has a software engineering degree, but at the company I was at, I was really interested in getting an automation program spun up. So I learned like .NET, because that's what I could build these robots in. So learned that, built, you know, the initial robots in that company. And then once Jameson and I teamed up, that was pretty much the last line of code that he ever let me write once he came in.
I love that. I didn't catch it right away. The last line of code he let me write. He's like, okay, the first thing we're going to do is redo this entire mess that you aventured your way into the company. And now we can actually do this.
Yeah, and I did that. I really did that as a kind of as a side project in the company I was at. And then then when we teamed up, Jameson built the initial version of the entire product.
I kind of love that. I kind of love that story. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, great, absolutely great. For the listeners, I will include Jackson's. I will tag Jackson below in the show notes, and the company. Like I said, the website, Quandary.io. I think I closed it actually.
Yeah, Quandary.io.
And if anybody wants to chat with the team at one of the InsurTech events this year, where are you likely to be? I know you might not have the schedule ready, but which events are you likely to be at?
Yeah, so depends on Canada or the US. I think we're going to be in we are going to be in New York in early June. We're going to be at the Texas event as well.
So New York, that would be Insights. InsurTech Insights, okay.
Yeah, we're going to be there, and then we'll be at the Texas event in June as well. And then
is that,
in the
is
fall,
that Browders or what's the Texas event?
That's the state association event in Texas.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll be at that one, and then in the fall we'll be at American Alliance in California. We'll be at AppliedNet. We'll be at IBAO. We'll also be at IBAM. The Manitoba event in the spring, and we'll be at the Alberta event in Banff in the spring as well.
Okay,
so lots of places to find us if you're interested.
Okay, so for the Canadian audience, a lot of those letters that I've never heard before mean something to you.
Yeah.
Manitoba. What is even Manitoba? Is that a place?
One of the provinces.
My Canadian geography is sad, but I do recognize the names. I just have no idea where they are.
It's actually right in the middle, smack in the middle of the country.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time today. This has been really interesting. Look forward to seeing you guys continue to grow. Maybe come back in a couple of years, tell us how you're kicking ass. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony. Great to be on here, and appreciate you having me on.